Okay. Away into the present. This is lecture one, and the title of our talk this morning is number one, existence is in the here and now. Existence is in the here and the now. Do you have existence in the here and the now?
Yes.
I was talking with Esther this morning, and I said, are you living in the here and the now? Oh, yes. I said, do you have any pictures in your wallet? She says, oh, yes, my seven children. And I said, well, is that what they look like right this minute? No, but you're close. And so... that's what we do. That's what we do. We live in the past. And you say, but they're my children, my grandchildren, my husband, my family, you know. Well, the picture you have in your mind of them is far more beautiful than any photograph you might have. But any photograph is going to require you to go into the past and think about the past. It's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. Again, Esther and I were talking. It's her time for counseling, so I tell her everything that she says. And what Esther was saying was that she would like to enjoy spiritual illumination. How many of you would like to enjoy spiritual illumination?
No.
What's that?
Already done.
See, right away, she's got to answer the question that I was going to ask you. Do you want to enjoy spiritual illumination? I'm already there. But you see, that's the point. Living in the now is that you are already there. We are so accustomed to wanting to be that we will be healed. We will be illumined. We like to be. And we put it in the future. And when we put it in the future, we can never have it in the present. And we put it in the future again and again and again and again and again. And it's a very unfortunate thing to do. Because we're wasting our time and all that matters. People call up the healing ministry and they say, I got to tell you my problem. And we say, oh, no, you don't. We don't have time to hear your problem or to even talk about your problem. We want to talk about your solution. But if you don't know my problem, how can you help me with the solution, you know? Well, what is it you'd like to have? Well, wholeness. Okay, then right now you are whole and perfect. But. Oh, why are you saying but? Because you're living in the past. If the doctor fixes you up and you leave the hospital healed, you don't say, I'd like to be healed, I'd like to have this, it's done. If you speak your word metaphysically, and you say, I'm whole and perfect, and there's no sign of an illness any longer, you don't go and say, well, I had it yesterday, now where did it go, you know? You don't care. It's none of your business where it went to. It went into the limbo of nothingness out of which it came. You see, all these illusions in our life are in the nothingness, and we empower them by our attention. Little children wake up in the middle of the night screaming and hollering with bad dreams, oftentimes. And where do we go? Do we go into those little children and say, all right, what did you think? What happened to you? What made you cry? What made you unhappy? Tell me all about it. Tell me all about your garbage. Tell me all about your anger. Tell me all about your unhappiness. Oh, we do that and we'll be up all night with them. But we say to them, there, sweetheart, let's just love them, let it alone. That's past now. Now you're in your mommy's arms, and now everything is okay. Now daddy's here, and everything is fine. You know, you don't say, what about? You live in the now, and you let the past be back, be gone. And you don't care where it went. Actually, it went into the nothingness out of which it came. And when we can live in the now, with every instance of our life, with every experience of our life, then we are entering into that awareness of spiritual illumination. A spiritually illumined person sees what? Ingrid? What does a spiritually illumined person see? Again?
See myself healed.
The spiritually illumined person sees themselves healed? Katerina, what does a spiritually illumined person see? He sees only other spiritually illumined people. Oh, it's true. He is healed, but he doesn't know it because that's not where his attention is. He's not even thinking about it. That's yesterday. Today, he's whole and perfect. But he sees only other people who are just like himself. A spiritually illumined person can only see another spiritually illumined person. Why do women marry alcoholics? And why, when they get rid of one alcoholic, do they marry another one? This is the way that it works. This is a silly thing, but it's true. And why is it that they call a criminal a professional criminal? Because he's done it more than once. He's made a career out of it. He's perfected his talent in being a criminal, whatever that may be, you know? And now, how many of you in your lifetime have ever met a professional husband? A husband, that's good. And what would you define a professional husband as, Katerina? Oh, okay. She had a professional, she knows about professional husband, what a professional husband. A professional husband is a man who every moment that he is acting as a husband in the presence of his wife and family is acting as the ideal husband. I told you the story of our man up in Detroit, Michigan, and he was not a very nice guy, and he had the most beautiful wife in the world, really a super lady, and he had two gorgeous daughters, but he took to drinking, and so he had sclerosis of the liver, which was killing him, and he went to the hospital, and the doctor says, you know, it's just a matter of days. And so his minister, Joyce Collins, who I trained, called me and said, will you talk to him? And I said, sure. So I called the guy and I said, man, you are the greatest. You know, you are fantastic. Here you have the most beautiful wife in the world. She could be the cover of Ebony. She's just gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And two gorgeous daughters, teenagers, who are just ready to come out. And you're going to let your wife go marry somebody else who can take credit for the beautiful girls and the work that you've done in training them and in your glorious wife. He's, my wife would never marry. Don't kid yourself. When you're dead and she's not going to sit around weeping, she's going to, she wants you if you want to stay. She'd love to have you. But if you're going to die, she's not going to stop living. I mean, she might as well be like the pharaohs, you know, and have the queen climb in the tomb with them, you know. I mean, like, happy day. What do queens of England do when their king husbands die? They take over, and they become great queens and whatever, you know. No way. Thanks, Dad, for bringing it along to this point. But so he hung up the phone. He was angry at me. And then the next week, Joyce called, and she said, what did you say to him? And I said, well, just what you told me. Well, he is at home, and he is the ideal husband. He is at home, and he is the ideal father. He is at home, and he has his job totally, harmoniously under control. The professional husband, the professional wife, father, wife, the professional in the relationships that he has. And this is the ideal, you see. He let the past be behind. He did not want to give up his wife or his daughters. And he realized, hey, what am I cutting off for? I don't have to. And the doctors gave him a clean bill of health, absolutely freed of that sclerosis of the liver. Now, that's that's a fantastic thing, but see, that's a professional husband. He had been a professional non-husband and non-father, even though he had good fruits, you know. But the thing is, until he stood up for himself, he didn't realize how wonderful life could be. And his wife said, "Oh, he's great." And the kid said, "What a super dad we got, you know." And before, he's drinking, always drinking, always drinking, always drinking. Why was he drinking? Who cares? He doesn't anymore. That's what matters, right? Mm-hmm. Who cares? But if you don't know why, you can't help him to stay away from it and not have the problem anymore. Well, his problem was he didn't know how to love. And all of a sudden he decided, hey, I'm going to love my family. I do love them. I want to be with them. I'm going to be the father that I can be, the husband that I can be. You see, this is how it works. I empower my brain to change its attitude about itself. Now, what is your attitude about yourself that your brain has? The attitude you have about yourself that your brain has is that you are limited, is that you can't do certain things. The attitude you have is that you are not a beautiful person. The attitude you have is that tomorrow, you know, and there is no tomorrow. There is no yesterday. There's only this moment right now. And this is the time that we put the attitude in motion about what? We put the attitude in motion that we like ourselves. When you say, "I like me," you are saying something so outrageous. Because you know you're not a nice person. You know that you don't do everything perfectly. You know that you don't give yourself 100% to your world. You know that there are times that you judge other people and you look at other people and think that they're not nice and so forth. And you know that you look at yourself most of the time and you say you're not nice. And, you know, that's not a good attitude to have. How do you change that attitude? Well, 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4. You keep saying that, and pretty soon, 2 times 2 is 4. And you're using it that way. I like me, 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 I like me. I am God, you know. I like me, I like me, I like me. And pretty soon, you're starting to like yourself. Instead of counting your curses, you're counting your blessings. And that's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing to do. How do you begin to count your blessings? You count your blessings by putting your attention to them. We had here somewhere that we put our concentration on it. We put our intention on it. I empower my brain to change its attitude about itself by having new thought about it. Can you have new thought about your brain, about your life, about your world? You can if you want. But do you want to? Jerome, are you a brilliant man? You know, no hesitation. No hesitation. He knows he's a brilliant person. He knows that he's a good person. Sabrina, are you stupid?
No.
I had to figure out what stupid meant first. It's not in my vocabulary. You know. Are you brilliant, Sabrina? Yes. Are you a lovely girl? Yes. You a nice guy? Yes, okay. So we got that all covered. But you see, this is what I see in them. I see me in them. And they are fabulous. And they reflect back to me what I see in them. They don't reflect back to me ways that I can improve them or they can improve themselves. They only reflect back to me what I see in myself and what I see in them. Now, do I see everyone in this world as a super califragilisticexpialidocious person?
Yes.
Now, Esther, what should I do on that? Forget the adverb? Forget the adverb? Forget the adverb. The adverb is super califragilisticexpialidocious. Yeah. Everybody in this world is great. Everybody in this world is fabulous. I'm supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. That's kind of a long statement or verb or Abu, however you want to phrase it, and it's good, but it's okay. But you see, Ellen, whenever she sees little children, she says, oh, what a lovely genius, oh, what a great genius, oh, hey, just say genius. Hey, how is your genius today, you know? And there's no confusing. My lovely, you call that lovely with ice cream all over their shirt, you know, and stuff like that. You see, when you say my genius, there can be no discussion. Is your child a genius? Yes. Does your child know they're a genius? No. They are it. They don't need to know it. Because if they know it, then yes, I'm a genius, you know, there's always that poutiness, that puffiness, that superiority. But when they know they're a genius, that is, when they are a genius, they don't have to say, I know it. They just are it. Now, do you go around telling everybody if you're a woman? No, you know it. They know it. It's obvious, you know. Do you go around saying that I am the president of the IBM Corporation? Ooh, I didn't know that. Hey, that's cool. You know, it's all right. But you see, you have to tell them about these outer things. But your reality, are you a beautiful person? Are you a sensitive person? Are you a caring person? Are you a person that is illumined? Are you an illumined being? How many in the room here are illumined beings? Oh, one or two. But you see, yeah, thank you. But if you don't say it, you won't have it. Now, what does the word illumined mean? The word illumined being, what does it mean, Esther? Let's say, is. Spiritually what?
Conscious.
Spiritual consciousness. All right. What's spiritual consciousness?
To know who you are.
All right. What is to know who you are?
To know that I am God.
That's good. But more effective would be yourself and have fun. You see, to know that you're God sounds kind of holy.
Yeah.
kind of, okay, I got the whole thing well taken care of. And you don't believe that, and nobody else believes that. Because I don't want to be God in that light. I want to be myself and have fun. And in being myself and have fun, I'm going to do things that people don't call godly, you know. Like I'm going to dive in the pool in the middle of New York City because it's hot and it's cool in the pool. And I dive in and people say, who do you think you are? You're not allowed to do that. Oh, excuse me. Okay, I come out and then I go my way, you know. Squashy shoes, filled with water, but it doesn't bother me. I'm myself, and I do everything myself, and I don't expect, the people said, you can't do that, and that's okay. The police didn't come along and say, you can't do that, you know, because it's wonderful. When you do things that are yourself, and you're not hurting anybody or doing anything to take from another or hurt from another, you're just being yourself, go for it. Now, Ellen is a very terrible lady. She goes into the supermarkets, and she's in the waiting line, you know. There's always kids in the waiting line. And she looks at them, and she says, oh, you're a sweet little genius, you know, you're a genius, you're this and you're that. And the mother's not paying any attention. And Ellen's having this little love affair with the child, and saying how wonderful they are, and the kid looks at her and says, well, you know, you're nice too. And by the time the mother turns around to see it, what's happened? It's over with. They finished it. The mother missed it because she was so busy being the sceptic, you know, being businesslike, paying the bill at the counter, that she missed this love affair between her child and this lady who saw her. Now, what would you say? One of you told me about the Dalai Lama, wasn't that you? Somebody told me about it. But you? Who? Who told me about the Dalai Lama? I'm sorry?
Monica C. in Switzerland.
Oh, the lady in Switzerland, yeah. But you see, she was telling us that she was thinking about the Dalai Lama, and there he was, you know, walking down an ordinary street in Switzerland, and she didn't bump into him, but there he was, you know, because she was thinking about him. Now, and I'm using that only as an illustration right now. When you think about things, you empower them to be in your life. She didn't say, I want to see the Dalai Lama now. I'm standing here, I'm speaking my word, and I want to see the Dalai Lama now. You know? She didn't say that. She just said, I don't recall. Oh, she was thinking, and go ahead.
She was thinking about reincarnation and how the Dalai Lama needed to answer questions from his past life.
Right.
And she thought, if I have a question about that, I should really ask the Dalai Lama, and then he
appeared there. Now,
she didn't ask him a question.
Isn't it beautiful how these things can pop right out into your world when you don't realize it, but you put the cause in motion. Now, why didn't she say, I am independently wealthy, you know, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And she is saying those things, isn't she? Yeah, she's a good student. And so, is she experiencing her whole and perfect body?
Yes.
Is she wealthy?
Yes.
Ah, what else does she need? And what else do we want her to have? Is she spiritually healed in every way?
Yes.
My goodness, no past. No past. How wonderful. You see, we live in a fantastic world, but it's up to us. Now, I empower my brain to change its attitude about itself. I like me. As some of us were reluctant to say, I like me, or I am God, or I am whole and perfect, and so forth. Always play the game. If you go into Katerina's class, and she's teaching you how to weave flax, and make purses, and make all sorts of table mats and other lovely things, and you say, but I can't do that, I can't bend those things, I can't make that, and Katerina says, that's true. One day you'll know how to do that. And when that day comes, then you will be a multimillionaire. Oh, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to see different motivation. And she did it right then. But you see, with the right motivation, all those things we say we can't do, we can do. We just need to challenge ourselves a little bit and change our attitude about it. And that lady changed her attitude. I'm sure you have lots of people coming in your class who are a little reluctant at first to play with it because it's a new type of material to work with. But you see, this is the joy of that sort of thing. And I know that Gertrude over here, she's done that same thing. Gertrude has taught, what do you call it, crafts in school or something, homemaking and crafts and stuff like that. And she has all these children coming into her class who have never worked with their hands, who have never played with clay and never done the things that she teaches them to do, sewing and the various other things, boys and girls alike. And by the time they leave her class, it's a natural to do anything. They feel like they're the most competent people in the world, and it's the course in which they get the best grade in the entire school, you know. And because every student that goes through her class gets an A. They come out top of the line. Right, Jerome? Yes. See, that's right from the horse's mouth here. So, this is how we change your attitude. Now, I am in charge. Are you in charge?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If you're in charge, what do you do? Now, if Sylvia were really interested in making sure that all of us knew what we were doing and that we're on time, she would look at her computer, she would put the time on her watch, and she'd go through all the clocks in the monastery, all 12 of them, and change the time. She'd go into the hermitage, and she'd go through all 36 clocks and change the time on them, wristwatches and clocks, come in here to the embassy, and with these 15 clocks that we have here, and you can't forget the wristwatches, you know. Because wristwatches are important too, and the pocket watches and other things. And then the alarm clocks and stuff like that. You know, Sylvia has offered herself on the altar of correct time to go throughout all of the buildings and change air. But then, Sylvia, you must do the same thing in the cars. Each car has their special time. And then, after you're done with that, Then you must remember, Sylvia, the microwave ovens and these other things, they all have timers in them. I mean, you could be going for a month of Sundays changing, and up, and then the televisions, you know. Oftentimes the television has time on it. And I tell you, it is exciting. It is, you know. You could really be very busy setting the time. So, I am in charge. Now, Sylvia, I'm going to give you a secret. The rest of you close your ears now. Sylvia, speak your word and say, all of our clocks are set at the perfect time. Right now.
Right now.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. But this is, oh, I forgot, Sylvia. All of our guests have clocks on their wristwatches and their alarm clocks that they got with them. What?
That's covered in the hour.
Oh, okay, it's covered in the hour. Very good. All right, now, I caused my brain to create endorphins. Anybody know what an endorphin is? What's an endorphin?
A chemical.
Yes, I know it's a chemical. What does it do?
It's very relaxing and pain relieving and so on.
It is a chemical mood modifier in the body, and it helps us to relax and be free of pain and free of all these other things when it is properly administered. And it has to be properly administered by the highest priced medical doctor in the world. And the medical doctor's name is Gregor and Gertrude and Jerome and you. Yes. And the great Esther, right. Yeah. See, you are the ones who modify. It says right here, I cause my brain to create endorphins. Now, these are chemicals that come out from within our body and modify our body and balance our body and control our body and work with it. And that's only one. That's only one. What did we hear about last night? What was that word beginning with a P?
Peptides.
Peptides. Now, what did the peptides do? Gregor? What happened when the peptide hit this one endorphin? Let's party! Remember? Let's party. You see, and that's true. That's just very true. When these chemicals are intermixing in our body, whether in peptides or in the many other ways that they do, our body responds to them. Now, let's just go back to that movie last night. This woman was having some pretty husky problems in her mind. And why was she able to, at the end, be free? What action did she take during the movie that you were aware of that made her be free or allowed her to be free? Remember, you saw the scene? Remember that? I'm sorry?
She started to like herself.
Oh, is that what she did? What?
She lived in the now from that moment.
Yeah.
So the past was gone.
She started liking herself and living in the illumination of her presence. And what happened to the actions? What were those gadgets that were connecting inside of her brain? You're all good students, aren't you? These, What? Yeah. That's the one. What's the name? What? Yeah, they connected and disconnected. That's true. But you see, you can have good connects as well as bad connects. See, the good connects are when you say, I like me. And the bad connects are when you say, I hate me. Mm-hmm. You know, and what did she ever say, I hate me? Mm-hmm. What did she hate? She hated her age. She hated her body, which appeared to be out of sync, you know. Mm-hmm. And then what happened? As you were watching the movie and she was standing in front of the mirror smearing toothpaste all over it, what did she say? She threw her head back and she said, "I am God." Remember that?
It's because she met that guy where he was in the railway station somewhere.
Yeah.
So he was the guy.
Yeah, what do you think?
What do you think when you thought him to...
Yeah, yeah. If what if thoughts do that to water, what do you think thoughts can do to yourself? And
so she realized that she should not hate herself.
That's right. She got that image at that very moment. Look, you have to be alert to these things. It's easy to drift away and miss it, but you be alert. And then, as she was looking at that, she threw back her head and says, "I'm God," you know, and. What an illumination she must have had. And at that point, what did she do? She started to like herself. What was she drawing all over herself? Hearts and flowers. And love. Yes. Now, and when her little friend came in and said, "I want some toothpaste," what did she do? She reached in the sink and gave her a handful. And then the girl said, "Thank you." What a beautiful foil that girl was for her. What a beautiful thing. And you see, but this is why you can't watch that just once. Because first you get over the show, you get over the theater of it, and then you start to get to the depth of what's happening and what's really taking place in there. And this is true of many very significant movies. You get to know what's really going on. We probably should watch it again once or twice. The stuff is a little heavy where they have all this party stuff. That's a little unnecessary, I think. But it wanted to show her complete her ability to abandon, her ability to shift from one point of hating the groom to drink a toast to the groom. A little bit of wine helped it. But it's a very fascinating thing when you start to see how this works. Okay, let's go on. I caused my brain to create the endorphins. So we cause our brain to release those endorphins, to release those chemical substances that bring balance and order to our body, to our mind, and to our affairs. And this is done very easily. This is done very easily. And it is done all the time. We merely choose whether they're going to be beneficial or non-beneficial to us. And sometimes we choose them to be non-beneficial when we hate ourselves, when we don't like what we're doing, we don't like what we're saying, seeing, hearing, or feeling. Okay. How would you, what phrases do you think would be most important to speak to have the endorphins be released in a beneficial way?
I like me.
I like me.
I'm whole and perfect.
What?
I'm whole and perfect.
I'm whole and perfect. Very good, yeah. What?
I am peace.
I am peace. Where'd you get that? I am peace. I'm not at peace, but I am peace. How terrific. I am peace. What does Herb say every morning when we have the Om? I am peace. We had a seminar in Monterey, and one of our participants, Claudio Waltmeyer, he's a nice guy, but he's a little laid back. And so I got on him one time, and I said, "Claudio, you are peace. Now, anytime I point to you, you say, 'I am peace.'" So I pointed to him a couple million times during the seminar. And he would say, "I am peace." And so then he writes me a letter, "I am peace." And he talked to me on the internet, "I am peace." And he said he's now made that part of his business slogan, "I am peace." But you see, it got to him because it was something I used especially with him because it was an area where a little balance was always in order. And he took it and he ran with it and he's using it and he's making it his now. Just because he puts it on his business cards and on his letterheads and things, that doesn't mean he makes it him. What it means he makes it him is when he is showing that in how he responds to himself, to his customers, his clients, and to the people in his world. And he is a real estate person in Lorenzo, what is it? In Switzerland. And Lucerne, thank you. Lucerne, yeah. And what does he do? He comes to our seminars, and he is driving a Volvo. But he's not driving a Volvo. He is driving the Cadillac of the Volvos. It has everything in it. The back window has special things on it, and the telephone system in it, and the the GPS for Global Finder. He's got seats that warm you and lift you and lower you. And he wanted us to take a ride, and we didn't get a chance to do that. But it was just the luxury of the luxuries. And he has a little girl, and the little girl lives with him. And he teaches the little girl how great she is and how wonderful she is. And she is just really shining forth. So he's been attending our seminars for himself, but his daughter has been getting her share of the joy from it. And she says, "Dad, don't miss that seminar. When you come home from that seminar, you're always filled with light. You're filled with something good, good, good. And you bring me presents." But you see, this is the great thing. We don't know what blessings we're getting from any one place. We don't know what things are coming to us from any one place. But we do know this, that we are professionals. We are professional spiritual beings. Now, I use the word professional spiritual being. That means that we know all we need to know, and we apply it. We know all we need to know, and we apply it. Now, does Chrissy know all she needs to know, and does she apply it?
Yes.
Why does she do it? When did she get so smart? Chrissy, when did you get so smart? You know who you are, and you like who you are, you're God. But the answer, Chrissy, you know, those are super. But the answer is, I always was that way. I always was that way, you see? And is that true? Yes. Yeah, I see. That's true for all of us. We are professionals at this. We always were that way. We always are that way. We are that way now. And as we keep that foremost in our mind, then that's what we experience. Now, are you ready to experience that? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Esther?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. I'll get you, but don't let me get you. When are you going to be beautiful? I am beautiful. That's true. Right now. Dorothea? You don't even know my question yet. Dorothea? When are you going to be old enough to be sweet 16 and be kissed? You see, the image is that she is a youngster yet, and even though she has this mature look about her, she's still a very exquisite youngster. And this is what we all enjoy being, an exquisite youngster. I was at a birthday party for myself at a restaurant, and a lady on the table behind us was having her birthday too, remember that? And how old was she? She was something like 89 or 92 or something. But she was, look, I'm not giving this talk for you. I'm giving this talk for myself. And if I want to make up things, I can make up things. And if I say she's 110, she's 110. Say, yes, you know. And don't think of correcting me. It's really 109 and a half. You know, she wasn't quite 100. But you know what I mean? Just say yes. Yeah, just say yes. I've been teaching this for years. Whenever I go to people and I say, hey, Jerome, isn't Sabrina a fantastic girl? And Jerome says, yeah. And I say, Sabrina, is he right? Sabrina didn't hear it. And Sabrina says, if Herb's in this, it must be right. Yes. And so she says, yes. And she never does get to hear what we said. What did we say, Sabrina? But you see, always say yes when I say something. And this is another point, too, that I share with our group here quite consistently, that San Diego is north of San Francisco. And this bugs them no end.
It is not so. There's the map that says San Francisco is north of San Diego, not San Diego, north of San Francisco.
And I say, play the game with me. Play the game. What did we hear in the movie last night? The scientists make up the stories of what life is. They make up the stories of what an atom is. Have they ever gone inside of an atom to see that the neutron, proton, and all of the good energy fields around it? No. Do they have microscopes or things that can be so tiny to see that? No. Then how do they know it? That's what they guessed. What is the Big Bang theory that created the world? It's a theory. It's somebody's imagination. It's a guess. The most creative writers in the world are the scientists. And what do the scientists try to do? They try to prove that the other guy is wrong. And they can't prove he's wrong. Sometimes they can, but basically they can't prove he's wrong. And then some scientists will come along and be very creative. And they will get Nobel Prizes and they'll get all sorts of awards. And then they'll find out that it's not true. Now, what is it that they found out was not true? What the scientist said, or that he did not do the process that he said he did? You see? If you say anything you want, that's fine. But if you say how you got there, you better have gotten there by that way. And that's the only reason scientists disagree with other scientists, is because they want them to have a proven program or process to arrive at a given goal. And this is what you want to do. You want to have a proven program or process of arriving at whatever your goal is. Now, we have our fourth point here. When my brain goes into deep alpha, theta, and delta brain waves, sleep or not, the brain makes endorphins and I feel peace, well-being, and bliss. You know what that means? That means whatever we're doing, whatever we're thinking, whatever attitudes are going through our mind, our brain is making endorphins of being at peace, being at well-being. Now, why is it, since our brain is doing this all the time, do we have trouble being at peace? And the answer is because we tell ourselves we're not at peace. Because we tell ourselves that we're not fulfilled, we're not great, we're not fantastic. We tell ourselves these things and then we believe it. A lie told long enough and strong enough and often enough is believed in. And it can even be true. Because there is no truth and there is no lie. There is only what you think it might be. Now, in Nigeria, the people there are absolutely crazy. They eat foods that are interesting. Well, in the United States, the people are crazier. They eat foods that are interesting. Now, in the United States, they know that certain foods are not good for you. Like fast food restaurants, you know. They know that. And still, they go to the fast food restaurants just by droves. We've all gone there. Okay, now, in Nigeria, do they go through the fast food restaurants in Nigeria too? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they love that too. They know better, but they still go there. In Nigeria, the food that they eat at home is far more beneficial for them than the food that they eat in the restaurant. Now, why would they go to a restaurant if the foods at home are far better than the restaurant? Because it's that strange Nigerian stuff. They don't have ketchup all over it and onions all over it and salt and pepper all over it and stuff like that. They have other fine spices all over it. And those are the uniqueness to it. Now, are the Nigerians less intelligent than the Americans because they eat a different diet? Yes, if the Nigerians think that they're not happy people. If the Nigerians think that they're happy people, they're further ahead than many Americans. Why are they further ahead? The lady who introduced me at INTA, she was, or somebody was telling, that a speaker from San Francisco, she was saying that when she was a little girl, they lived in a rural community of the South, and they didn't have shoes, they didn't have this, they didn't have food that they wanted to eat, they didn't have a lot of things, and they didn't know they didn't have it, because they didn't have it. There's no television telling them that they should have had it, you know? And they didn't know that they were poor. They didn't know that they didn't have things. They were perfectly content and grew up to be perfectly healthy people. Now, was it real they should have had those things? Did they should have had all the medical things that the modern day has to offer? No. They had the truth. The truth was they had everything they needed. And even the love of their parents who were able to be home with them. Yeah, yeah. You see, we label things true and false where who's to say it's true and who's to say it's false? The false things of this world are the things that don't work for us. The true things in this world are the things that work for us. Now, what did the minister on the show last night say? He said something about, because you're God, because you're the creator of your universe, means that you can do anything you want. But he says, does that include being licentious and being immoral and so forth? He said, yes, but you wouldn't want to do it. You would have no desire to do it. And that's the big point. Not that you couldn't, or you shouldn't, or you wouldn't, but that you would have no desire to do it. And this is beautiful. This is truly a master consciousness at work. And this is truly who all of you in this room are. Master consciousnesses who know who you are, and you don't need anything that belongs to anybody else. You don't need anything that is inharmonious for your best and your highest good. All you do, and you don't need what's good for you either. All you do is just live in the consciousness of happiness and peace. Peace, yeah, there we go. Esther is peace today. So, live in the consciousness of happiness and peace. And that is a super thing to do. All right? The brain makes endorphins, and I feel peace, well-being, and bliss. We'll go on a little bit more later about the brain in its deeper alpha, theta, delta waves, and sleep or not. The brain makes endorphins, and I feel peace, well-being, and bliss. But right now, take in your heart that you live in the now, and you are master of yourself right now, and you're master of everything in your world right now. For that's all that matters to you. Okay? We will take our pause now, and then we'll come back at half past 10. I love you.
Thank you.